Not so long ago, Microsoft and other tech vendors were touting their no-code, low-code platforms as enabling non-developers with little or even no coding experience to be able to create simple line-of-business and workflow apps. But seemingly, everything changed when GitHub Copilot emerged onto the Microsoft developer scene. Why would anyone need to use no-code, low-code tools if they could just tell GitHub Copilot to build something using natural language descriptions? Was there still a place for the Power Platform and other no and low code tools in this new world? Unsurprisingly, Microsoft says yes, but what do developers of all stripes say? Welcome to the Directions on Microsoft Briefing Podcast. I'm Mary Jo Foley, the Editor-in-Chief here at Directions. I'm your host for the series of podcasts for those interested in the Microsoft Enterprise IT ecosystem. Today, we have two experts on all things developer-related on the show. Special guest Daryl Taft is the news editor with the NewStack, where he covers DevOps, software development tools, and developer-related issues. And our own Rob Sanfilippo is here too. Before becoming an analyst at Directions, Rob worked at Microsoft for 14 years, where he designed technologies for Microsoft products and services, including Exchange Server, BizTalk Server, and Xbox Live. Hi, guys. I'm really glad you're here today. And we're going to start out using Daryl's recent article from the NewStack entitled, No Code is Dead. That article has been generating a lot of attention and debate in the AI and the non-AI dev communities. For that article, Daryl talked to a number of developers at various companies about how generative AI is transforming and possibly replacing completely traditional no-code platforms. So Daryl, did anything you heard in talking to devs about this topic surprise you?
Oh, yeah. Well, first off, I wanted to thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. Thanks.
But yeah, I'm surprised that the article got so much attention because I went in with the premise that no code and not so much low code was dead or soon would be. And I was thinking Gen AI and AI agents would just render no code obsolete, like you were saying earlier. So the reason I pursued the stories that I was hoping to prove that point. But I learned that there are companies like Bubble and Creatio and others that are expanding their platforms to give users Gen AI capabilities to augment their no-code visual development offerings.
Okay. So, Rob, what do you think? Will this so-called vibe coding or building apps using natural language prompts kill off no-code and maybe even low-code tools and approaches?
Right. Well, yeah. Again, thanks, Mary Jo, for having us here and having me here.
Sure.
This is a great topic. And Daryl's report, I read the whole thing. It's a really long, in-depth report, so highly recommend it and really makes you think about the landscape right now. I think there's still, and there might always be a need for development tools that provide more of a UI than a natural language prompt. I think it seems reasonable and elegant to conclude that natural language is the optimal human-computer interface once what is simpler than explaining a problem to a computer using your own words.
Right.
But I think software development requires a precision that goes beyond words. So for example, when you're creating UIs in the so-called pixel perfect way, that often is best done with visual designer layout tools. And then if you're tweaking metadata values, you have dozens or hundreds of numbers you have to enter, that might be easier to do just by adjusting them in a properties pane instead of explaining them to an agent in natural language.
Okay.
And so it makes me think of the cliche, if you want something done right, do it yourself. And I think that's in play here because there are aspects of software development that are best done without a middleman. Yeah. So no and low code eliminates a lot of the intricacies of app implementation, but it still lets you touch things directly where it can make a difference. So I think there's still a purpose right now, at least for no and low code tools.
Okay. So it feels to me like Microsoft somewhat anticipated the possible effects of tools like GitHub Copilot on Power Apps and Power Automate. The company even rebranded Power Virtual Agents to Copilot Studio, and then it started adding more AI capabilities like Copilots to Power Platform tools. So I'm curious if either of you think these moves are creating a clearer set of options for customers, or maybe a less clear, I don't know. And do they still seem to find value in these no and low code tools from Microsoft? Daryl, what do you think there?
Well, I can only base this on my reporting. And right. Ryan Cunningham, who's a corporate VP of Power Platform at Microsoft, he told me that there are 56 million people using Power Platform monthly, mm-hmm. and that 90% of the Fortune 500 has adopted Copilot Studio. So, you know, that data suggests that these guys are winning.
Or figured something out, right?
Right.
Yeah. What do you say, Rob?
Yeah, Power Platform, it's nearly 10 years old now. So they're doing something right there. And that right. 56 million, yeah, that's substantial, even for Microsoft. I think it was necessary for Microsoft to bring generative AI and Copilots into Power Platform for several reasons. Copilot's Microsoft's most important initiative now, so all of the company's products and services are going to have it. Yeah. But innovations coming from GitHub, like Copilot and its newest workspace and agent capabilities, and then there's GitHub Spark, which is a fledgling vibe coding offering. These are overlapping with Power Platform functionality, but not necessarily its user base, because with Power Platform, it's part of Microsoft 365, and that's centered around knowledge workers and organizational settings. So these citizen developers or these makers in that group are people that are motivated to solve problems with software and have an interest in development, but they might have little or no formal training or experience. They can use Power Platform to implement solutions. Whereas GitHub's biggest audience is people whose primary role is development, usually in a professional capacity. So we see drift of Power Platform toward GitHub's realm and vice versa, but I don't see the two as converging or heavily overlapping right now. So for example, a citizen developer would be much more comfortable using Power Apps Studio than opening Visual Studio Code and working with GitHub Copilot there. Right. And so there's still a large market for Power Platform's no and low code tools at the moment.
I am going to be very interested to see what happens with GitHub Spark, Copilot Spark or Spark, whatever it's called.
Yeah, GitHub Spark.
Yeah, because I feel like that, maybe even more so than GitHub Copilot itself, would likely be something that, quote, citizen developers might want to take for a spin. I don't know. It seems like they're targeting something similar to the Power Platform.
It could be, but it's still in that developer world. Yeah. Like a lot of these makers have never heard of GitHub, but if you show sure. them, hey, there's Power Platform and here's the tools and you can click through and there's a lot of guidance, mm-hmm. that might feel more comfortable than mm-hmm. going into GitHub and starting to look at repositories and all the tools around GitHub. So right now, and that might change, you know, GitHub might present Spark in a more friendly way, or it might even become part of Power Platform. I don't know.
Mm. So we'll see. I saw right now they're trying to make it something that Copilot Pro Plus subscribers would get or take advantage of, which is more like a consumer than an enterprise developer type person. So
right. Yeah, I could see that.
We'll see. Anyway, curious if there are any kind of recommendations you'd make to customers who are trying to figure out, should I be using no code, low code tools versus something like GitHub Copilot? So we've touched on this a little bit about where people feel more comfortable and kind of more natural fit for them. But is there something like a dividing line that you can point to that you'd say, okay, these are the kind of tasks you do with one, and this is the kind of task you do with another one? I don't even know if there is something possible to say on that front, but curious, who wants to take that one?
I could start.
Okay.
I think there's definitely some blurry lines there mm-hmm. between these, which is very typical for Microsoft offerings. There's always overlap. There's different teams that are solving problems that start to converge. And like I was saying earlier, there is this overlap between Power Platform and GitHub right now. So you have some pro developers that are using Power Platform for things like RAD, for rapid application development or prototyping or getting concepts out. And then you have some Power users that start out in Power Platform, but they're savvy with JavaScript. That's a hobby of theirs, or that's something they've done previously. So they start doing some pro coding to get really custom with their Power Apps app or their Power Pages site. And then GitHub Copilot enables this type of user to do that. So if you're a maker that wants to head straight for code, maybe you took a CS course in college, but you have a career in marketing, GitHub Copilot might feel comfortable for you, and that might be a place you would start with.
Mm-hmm. Daryl, want to add anything there?
No, I really like that answer, but I was just going to say, based on my reporting, analysts are saying that it continues to be both, that rather than seeing AI as a replacement for low code, this is a guy named John Breton Sevick from Forrester. Mm-hmm. He said he thinks it will accelerate the adoption of low code platforms. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and then another low code guy, Miguel Baltazar from OutSystems, he said he thinks Gen AI is more dangerous than no code, because in no code, at least you have a walled garden that you can play in, but Gen AI lets you generate whatever you want, and that could lead to orphan code. And by contrast, low code platforms maintain governance and readability.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good point. All right. I'm going to pause here and take a quick break so I can talk about directions on Microsoft's world famous licensing bootcamps. We've got a few of these, both virtual and in person, coming up over the next few months. Our Microsoft licensing and negotiation bootcamps help people like you understand the rules. You'll learn how Microsoft products are licensed, how to avoid traps, and how to spot opportunities for savings. These bootcamps are custom made for IT decision makers, procurement and legal professionals, software asset managers, solution partners, basically anyone involved in licensing Microsoft technologies. Our trainings can help you feel far more confident and prepared when you deal with Microsoft. Our LBCs are led by our licensing experts with decades of experience. You'll leave these bootcamps with at least one tip that will more than pay for the course. Our next in-person bootcamp is happening in Bellevue, Washington, right in Microsoft's backyard, September 17th to 19th, 2025. Then we'll be in Los Angeles next year in February and Washington, D.C. in April 2026. If you want more information on these bootcamps, go to directionsonmicrosoft.com/training. Okay, back to the future, or maybe the past, of no code and low code with Daryl and Rob. All right, besides adding more AI functionality to things like Power Apps, Power Automate, Power Pages, Microsoft also seems to me to be repositioning the Power Platform a bit. While they haven't said this officially, I feel like they are targeting more pro devs these days with Power Platform and Copilot Studio. I am curious if you two agree or disagree. Let's start with Daryl and then Rob.
Well, I can't say that they're targeting more pro devs. I mean, I do know that they continue to provide tooling to support their Fusion dev team strategy that mingles pro developers with citizen developers.
Yeah.
And a quote from Cunningham, he said, it's hard to teach a business person how to build scalable, secure enterprise software. It's hard to teach a software developer how to operate a business. But if I can put them both on the same toolkit, they can do amazing, magical things together. So I think Microsoft wants it all.
They do.
And, you know, another guy I spoke to, Gordon Van Huysen, who's SVP at Mendix, which is a low-code vendor, he's said he's putting his bet behind Microsoft with Power Platform and GitHub Copilot.
That's a good statement. They do want it all, as they always do. Rob, what do you say here?
Yeah, I also like this. Microsoft wants it all. That could be their company slogan. I think their marketing department might be against that, but that's a good presentation. But on this question, PowerApps and Flow. So that was what Power Automate was originally called. Now it's Power Automate. Like I was saying earlier, it's nearly a decade old. They've evolved considerably, and they were legitimately no code in the beginning, but now they're mostly low code. So for example, you have PowerFX. It's this language that looks like Excel formulas. That arrived 4 or 5 years ago, and it's now sprinkled low code across Power platforms. So everywhere you go now, there's the ability to use some PowerFX, so that brings code in. And there's also many places when you're working on apps or sites or flows where with one click, you can bring up the code behind the thing that you're making and actually see the code. So you're instantly transformed from low code to pro code, often with one click. And flows and Copilot Studio agents can get particularly complex, and that requires really a developer mindset to work with them. But there are these design time copilots that are keeping Power Platform rooted in the no and low code space. So you can just go with a natural language dev approach and vibe, which is still a little rough, but it's improving. These things have some rough edges. Sometimes you ask them to make a simple change and the copilot just doesn't get it. And you have to go and do it yourself. But I see Power Platform, it started as no code and it's now expanded into low code and now pro code. So yeah, it addresses a wider audience than it did 10 years ago.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's cut to the chase here. I want your final assessment. Is no code dead? Is low code dead? Is mid code dead? Or are there places for these kinds of tools alongside generative AI ones for the foreseeable future? Daryl.
Yeah. What you just said, there are places where you can have both.
Okay.
And no code is not dead yet. And I talked to this guy, Amjad Massad, who's CEO of Replit, which is one of those vibe coding platforms. Mm-hmm. He said he thinks that both no code and low code will go away and AI agents will do all the work. I don't know how soon that will be, but it's a possibility.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, Ryan Cunningham from Microsoft, he said that the platform vendors have an advantage because they provide governance and security right. And enterprise integration. So he does have a point there. And from, like I said, my reporting, I think he's right. And just to kind of drive home that point, I'd like to read the end of the story, my no-code story, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
My assessment from these experts is that AI will continue to enhance existing platforms while creating new categories of tools. And the most successful solutions will be those that blend the ease of use of AI with the governance and reliability of established platforms.
Okay. Good summary. Rob, what do you say here?
Yeah, we're at a point where we're transitioning into approaches for software development more than I've seen in my career. Specifically when we talk about Power Platform, so one of the questions that might come out of this discussion is, oh, is Power Platform about to just go into oblivion? Is it going to get replaced with GitHub Copilot or one of the other dozens of tools that do this vibe coding? One thing we haven't, Daryl mentioned governance before.
Yeah.
I think we didn't really get into that too much, but remember, Power Platform provides this central administration over things like who can create, publish, and run the things it builds, like app flows and sites and agents. And this can be done with pretty good granularity. So you can, an administrator can specify which connectors and which data can be accessed by each person in the organization. There's much less admin control over these things you would build if you're just going into a development environment and using GitHub Copilot. So Power Platform, whether or not it's because of the no-code, low-code, it's just more attractive to organizations because they have control over it. But if you look at GitHub Copilot, that can assist you with implementing just about any solution that's possible without the limitations of the capabilities that are present with the Power Platform. So yeah, I think there's still a place for all these coding approaches for now. There's never been a time, like I said, that this developer tools landscape, it's got such breadth and scope, more than I've ever seen before as far as what kinds of approaches you can take for development. It's really exploded in the last couple of years. A lot of that's going to get weeded out or evolve to meet the demand, but I don't see the destination being 100% vibe coding from here. Mm-hmm. I think we still have, you know, here's my analogy. We still have manual hand-driven screwdrivers and wrenches, but we've had power tools for over 100 years. So power tools didn't get rid of the need for the manual screwdriver if you just want to twist a screw. So that's how I'm thinking about software. Like sometimes you just want to get to the code and tweak it exactly like you want without having to have a agent between you and the code.
Yeah, I like that analogy. That's good. I like it.
Yeah, it's good. Good stuff. Okay.
Good, thanks.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for the time. Really good conversation. I want to remind our listeners they can find lots more coverage of all things Microsoft related on directionsonmicrosoft.com. Thank you so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any topics you would like to hear the Directions analysts or guests cover in one of these podcasts, please do not hesitate to contact me via X or Blue Sky. Directions on Microsoft is also on LinkedIn, so make sure you follow us there. We at Directions have converged our existing social media channels into a single platform. So give us a follow at DirectionsMSFT on X or Directions on Microsoft on Blue Sky to keep up with all of the latest Microsoft Enterprise product and licensing information. Thanks again.